This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of April, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in the show today, a busy one for you. Kurt Kimmel will be here from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take up what happened in Chicago. We'll talk with Scott Irwin Toom, agricultural economist at the U of I, about two items. First, the article that he and Daryl Good wrote for the Farm Doc Daily website, taking a look at the long-term price averages in what they're calling still the new price era, and where those averages might be for the season's average cash price across the nation. And then we'll roll that into the article that Daryl Good wrote, just posted to the Farm Doc Daily website not too long ago, about target prices for this year and getting ready to put those in place, not only for this year, but for next year as it pertains to corn and soybean sales. That all comes up during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Stay with us. Oh, and if you get the opportunity, do make a pledge to us at willpledge.org, a really quiet pledge drive. And we're looking to raise $90,000 by the end of tomorrow. You can help out right now at 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. And make sure you check the box that says in support of agriculture.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, futures finished the day higher. May contract in the corn pit up 5 1/4 at $3.77. July, 381 3/4, 6 1/4 higher. And December corn, the new crop, 387 3/4, up 6 3/4. The March contract there at 396 1/2, up 7 1/2 cents. December of 2017, 403 1/4, up 8 1/2 cents. Pay attention to that number. May soybeans, $9.99 3/4, up 12 3/4. July at 10.09 3/4, 13 1/2 higher. November at 9.97 3/4, up 14 3/4. In January at $10.25, up 14 cents for the day. Bean oil, 33.90, down 9. Bean meal, up $4.70 at 316.40. July soft red winter wheat, up 3 3/4, 477 3/4. The hard red at 537 1/2, up 4 1/4. Live cattle futures at 125.30, 57 1/2 cents higher. Feeder cattle down $2.07 1/2 in the April at 145.87 1/2. And lean hogs for the day in the May contract at $74.80, finished 90 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
Some of the rest of the numbers for the afternoon. Crude oil currently trading $42.75 a barrel. That's down 98 cents. The price of a gallon of gasoline in the RBOB at $1.51 1/2 is a penny and a half lower on the day. That's the wholesale price. Ethanol futures at $1.53 4/10 for a gallon is up a penny and 4/10. And diesel fuel on the day at $1.29 4/10 is a penny and 4/10 lower. Natural gas down 7 4/10 at $2.06 6/10 of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,865 is 52 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 94.81, down 0.270, and the gold futures on the day at $1,238 even, up $9.30. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. It's a wet one as we move forward. Just quickly, 40% chance of showers tonight, 20% tomorrow, 40% chance of showers on Tuesday evening, 70% chance of showers during the day on Wednesday, 70% chance on Wednesday night, and a 40% chance of showers on Thursday. Now, here's the forecast in detail. Tonight, those showers mainly before 3 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 62. Tomorrow, a 20% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy, and 79. On Tuesday, that 40% chance of showers is there, mostly cloudy, and 54 degrees. It's cooling down. Wednesday, some thunderstorms, a high high of 65, showers on Wednesday night as well, low of 53, and Thursday a 40% chance of showers. Will go to just 69 Friday, only 67 degrees.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. We're joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us. What happened in Chicago today?
We saw another big round, huge round of commodity fund buying, speculation that more speculative money is coming in to the marketplace. Going into midday, commodity funds were net buyers, about 14,000 contracts of beans, 9,000 meal, 2,000 oil, 18,000 contracts of corn, and 5,000 contracts of wheat. To add, to what we've already been hearing, it's mainly what I've been picking up, talking to the guys that, fill orders and so forth. Ideas are this might be, some pretty good speculative buying continuing from Asia, Asian speculative buying, and kind of feels like a lot of foreign money's coming into the country wanting to participate, in this rally. Some of this was recognized there late last week, and with the break in the marketplace, there's ideas that came back in to kind of support their position here. So, last winter, some of these outlook meetings, we talked about the low volatility, that something could happen to get these markets going and volatility could increase, and volatility's doubled here in the last 2 to 3 weeks. So it's quite a juiced market, and we got to be in a position here to expect some fairly wide swings up and down here now as we start to go into the growing season, Todd.
Do we have any details about why the money flow is coming out of Asia? Is it exiting Asia and trying to get away from a market, or is it looking to the commodity markets on the idea that the Chinese economy is going to be strong and thinking commodities will be one of the things the Chinese will be purchasing a great deal of and maybe potentially more of in the future?
Well, don't laugh now, but it's Trump. I feel now if you go back and look at the price chart and look at the days he won some primaries, I think the Asians, are fearful of what he might do in the future and have come in and gotten some coverage on and ideas that he might actually go somewhere. But the thing is that really got things kind of everybody's attention was the Argentina soybean crop. It was just devastating in some areas there. If you're social media, which majority of the younger crowd is, they've been bombarded, combines buried, tractors being buried in mud. They've taken some pictures of beans sprouting in the pod, the worst case scenario in some areas. So a confirmation that's come true here, where we've seen some downgrading of the size of the Argentina crop. Overall, world supplies or inventories remain quite high, even though you subtract, some bushels out of the southern hemisphere. And I think that that kind of generated some buying interest here as you're starting to tighten the supply-demand balance sheet, and that the U.S. needs to be, or was recipient of Argentina's inability to get those beans out and meet some world meal demand. That meal is just like a bottle rocket there on the chart. The Gulf basis in meal was just, huge, just strong. There's our commercial trade up here trying to get some meal lined up to meet Argentina's shortfall here due to the ability to get those beans and get them crushed. So it's just a combination of things. It's going to keep this market quite active here as we go through the growing season.
It'll be fun to watch. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today.
Very good, Todd. Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday afternoon. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's funded in part by you, our listeners. And if you get a chance, please do visit our website, willag.org, willag.org. You can hit the donate button up at the top of the page or just go to willpledge.org or 217-244-9455 to help us out during this really quiet pledge drive at the moment. If we raise 90 grand by the end of the day tomorrow, we won't come back to you with one of those big interruptive pledge drives. So 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Make sure you check the box that says in support of agriculture. Now up next, earlier today, I talked with Scott Irwin, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. He and colleague Daryl Good have been working through a series of articles on the Farm Doc Daily website related to the season's average cash price of corn and soybeans and the long-term averages in the new era. You know, a few years ago, they projected some long-term averages for the state of Illinois cash price. They've done that again with the brand new models that they just came up with and the whole national season's average cash price. I asked Scott Irwin to explain what it was really all about.
So a little background probably helps. When we did our original new era work back in 2008, 2009, we just worked with Illinois monthly average prices. And so, for example, our methods gave us 460 corn. But that's an Illinois unweighted monthly average price. And so when we wanted to go back at this in what we affectionately call our new era magnum opus, we realized that that's a little confusing for people to be that Illinois-centric. So we said, let's just use the exact same methods we did back in 2008 and 2009. But this time, let's apply them to the U.S. average farm price, which is the reference price in WASDE balance sheets. And so that's a number that is central to everyone's thinking. So we just wanted to make that a little easier this time.
Yeah, so once a month when the United States Department of Agriculture releases the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, there's midpoints. Actually, there's a range usually.
Right.
And you can come up with a midpoint from the range for the season's average cash price. It's an actual price that's weighted through the year based on how much corn or soybeans or wheat have been marketed at
right.
the time. And you wanted to match, relatively speaking, that price with your projections, and then to map that to your new set of calculations. So
right.
it has kind of a high, a low, and a medium in your calculations.
Right. So our new projections, basically in our earliest work, we took a really simple approach, and we said that there were two previous eras, the way we defined them in terms of average prices. There was a post-war era that went through 72-73, and so there was an average price there. And then there was a second era that ran roughly from 72-73 to 05-06. And so between those two eras, the average price basically went up 90%. Between that immediate post-World War II era and then the one that started in the 70s. Essentially, prices on average doubled. A lot of variation, but they essentially doubled.
What were the post-World War II era numbers nationally and then the post-1972 number to those through that second era?
Right. The first era was $1.28. The second era was $2.36. And so what we said is, okay, the price jumped about 90% in those eras. So we came up with the brilliant insight, Todd, that what if they jumped again by 90%? And our thinking was a little more in-depth than that. We took that as kind of our starting point. And then we realized, well, you know, we think that something of that magnitude of a jump actually does indeed make sense. given what, at the time, what we were seeing in terms of the market, what other modeling exercises that, that agricultural economists were doing. And so we said, yeah, let's, those seem pretty reasonable estimates, so we'll go with those. And so we started with the equivalent numbers now would be 435 on corn and 1044 on soybeans. And those turned out to be really pretty darn accurate numbers. In the first 8 years of the new era, corn prices averaged 449 on that national average measure, and we were forecasting 435 with our simple methods. Beans, we forecast 1044, and they turned out to be 1061. Now, again, these are averages, not highs, lows, or plateaus or anything like that. So, you know, we were getting pretty darn close with our simple methods.
Yeah, so the question then that most people are thinking about, and they might be changing their minds as prices continue to rally in Chicago, has the new era ended, and are we going back lower than that at this point? And your argument is, no, we're just on the bottom end of our range.
That's right. There's a very, very fundamental point here, and you've alluded to it, Todd, and you know there's been a background debate about that ever since we started coming off the historically high prices of especially 2007 through 2013. You know, was that a spike, a temporary, albeit long-lasting spike in grain prices, and we were going to head back to something at least much closer to the 70s, 80s, 90s kind of price levels? Or the alternative, was that just simply scraping along at the bottom of the expected price range for the new era, and one should expect, you shouldn't use, therefore, the observations of recent years to project forward into the future average prices? Very fundamental question. Really, in some ways, can't get a more fundamental question in ag economics than that. Because, you know, marketing strategies, investment decisions, land values, cash rent decisions, even farm programs are fundamentally influenced by the answer to that question.
You and Daryl Good put a supply and demand table together for the new crop growing year, the one that's being put in the ground at this point. What does it tell us about the markets?
Well, very interesting. Maybe it's just fortuitous, but the market is kind of catching up with what we have been really pointing out since the turn of the beginning of the year. It just seemed like to us that if you take an objective look at the S&D situation, take into account the weather uncertainties that we see here and elsewhere in the world, that the market was assuming that everything was just going to be peachy forever as far as you could see. And now I think the market is repricing grain around the world due to two things. One is, I think, a more rational view of the production risks that we face. And I think probably some surprise as we've worked out, it appears that maybe China's economy is going to recover faster than some expected. And they've really definitely been in buying in a, looks like, a pretty significant way in the market. So you put those together and basically, the markets have actually surprised me how quickly they've kind of moved towards the levels that we thought were a little bit more rational, like kind of 425 corn and 1050 beans. We're not there yet, and it will take some production problems in the U.S. probably to get us all the way there, but it was been quite interesting to see how quickly that has happened.
I know you work closely with colleague Daryl Good. In the article he wrote for the FarmDoc Daily website on Monday, on the 25th day of April, he suggested that for corn and soybean producers, that they picked target prices out for not only this year, but for next year. Any insight as to why for next year?
I mean, I'm putting words into Daryl's mouth, which is always a dangerous thing to do. But I think it reflects a view that we both share, that if the markets do rally, Todd, and we do get some good pricing opportunities, that this will be different than the experience of, say, from 2007 to 2010, 11, where what producers experienced was kind of the shift to the new era average price level. You know, so it was a one-time move up that carried prices forward.
The curve shifted to the right because of demand.
Yeah, exactly. And you were rewarded for waiting almost all the time to doing your marketing as that curve shifting was occurring. I think we see the kind of opportunities in the grain markets that might be presented as more of the traditional kind that our both Daryl and I's mentor Tom Hieronymus always called short crops with long market tails. So if you do get that situation emerging, let's say corn prices, I'm not forecasting this, but let's say we get fairly substantial production problems this summer in the U.S. and the corn market would rally to $5, we wouldn't expect that to last a long time because there would be a production response in the next year, and it would, you know, represent an opportunity like if you were farming in the 1980s and 1990s and corn prices got to $4. That didn't happen too often, and you were typically handsomely rewarded for marketing heavily when those kind of opportunities present themselves. So we see that kind of situation potentially developing if we do get those circumstances this year.
And I'm going to ask you one other thing, and I think you can do this for me without putting really words into Daryl's mouth. He said target prices. So he wasn't saying sell now. He was saying pick out your target prices, be ready to execute on them in the future.
Exactly. That's the key, is that kind of like warning lights are flashing that there may be opportunity ahead. Be prepared with a marketing plan that where you've got some really well thought through pricing targets that make sense for your farming operation, and be ready to execute when those opportunities arise. So it was kind of like saying, okay, everybody wake up. We're probably not going to be faced with 325 corn forever. And when opportunities arise, if they do, be ready.
That's Scott Irwin, of course. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. I spoke with him earlier today. You can read the articles that both he and Daryl Good have written. One today from Daryl Good, The Weekly Outlook, about pricing 2016 and 2017 corn and soybeans at target prices, that is. And the longer term one as well, which was posted last Friday to the FarmDoc site. That's at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Another website for you to visit, willpledge.org, or dial this number, 217-244-9455. Kind of hopeful you'll take some time yet this afternoon to help us out. And if you do that, we won't come to you in the next few weeks with a really full-fledged pledge drive. But do it right now, really quickly, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. And don't forget to let them know that you're in support of agriculture. There's a checkbox right there on the website. Up next, we'll talk about the weather. That with the guys up at Risk Pulse. They're in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Music. it's National Zucchini Bread Day. The first records of zucchini in the U.S. date back to the early 1920s. It was almost certainly brought over by Italian immigrants and probably first emerged in the U.S. in California. It's also St. Mark's Day, patron of cattle breeders. On this day in agricultural history in 1744, Anders Celsius died. Celsius was a Swedish astronomer, physicist, and mathematician who is famous for the temperature scale he developed. Celsius's fixed scale for measuring temperature defines 0 degrees as the temperature at which water freezes, and 100 degrees as the temperature at which water boils. The scale, an invented form of Celsius's original design, was adopted as a standard and is still used in almost all scientific work. And in 1959, the St. Lawrence Seaway opened. It connects the Great Lakes with the Atlantic Ocean. Its completion opened the heart of America's industrial and agricultural areas to ocean-going vessels for shipping. The Seaway begins in Montreal to Lake Erie and ultimately to the Atlantic. The waterway was completed over a period of 5 years at a cost of $1 billion. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We should be joined shortly by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Mark is on the phone line now. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, glad to be here, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this weather forecast, because farmers are going to be concerned as they look on their phones and online and other places and see that there's rainfall tonight, tomorrow, the next day, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. A lot of rainfall hanging around. What can you tell us about it and how widespread, how much?
Well, certainly the pattern is becoming more active relative to the pattern we've seen in recent weeks, especially the past week, which has featured basically a lack of any kind of significant rainfall here across the Corn Belt. There's going to be some showers and storms here today across the northern Midwest. The next real opportunity for more widespread significant precipitation, that's not until Wednesday of this week, when we have a slower-moving storm system move into the Midwest here. So Wednesday into Thursday will be a window, and particularly for Illinois, it'll be primarily Wednesday night into Thursday, which is the main window of more significant rain. After that, it looks to be on Saturday, Sunday, lingering into Monday. The item to watch after that is that, at least for sections of the western belt, we do look to get a little bit of a break in between rain systems, but possibly some lingering showers, just kind of unsettled conditions lingering into Illinois and the eastern Corn Belt during the middle part of next week. So certainly more active, some of your most active conditions, and the risk of real heavy rainfall in excess of 2 to 3 inches for the next 7 days. That looks to be more so in the western and southern sections of the Corn Belt. So that includes areas of southern Illinois and your acreage and around the Ohio River Valley, but then also into areas of northern Missouri, southern Iowa, and on into Nebraska. Not as much in central and northern Illinois.
That takes care of the Corn Belt. Turn your attention to South America. By this time, we're usually done talking about them. How widespread is the flooded and rained out areas of Argentina?
Well, based on our analysis, Todd, the main areas impacted by the torrential rains and flooding, it's portions of Entre Rios and portions of Santa Fe. You're talking, at least from a percentage standpoint, at least the heavy rainfall affected about 20 to 25% or so of at least the main soybean acreage, but it's within that is really a much, much smaller percentage that actually got inundated by the very heavy rainfall and likely impacted by the flooding. So it did not hit the core of the soybean acreage, which is aligned in Cordoba, northern Santa Fe, or northern Buenos Aires, southern Santa Fe. Those areas were spared the real heavy rainfall. And so overall, kind of what's done is done now. It seems like the worst is behind overall, and the pattern is much less active. Actually, they're getting into a stretch of about 8-9 days of dry weather starting tomorrow in Argentina.
Thanks so much. Then that wraps up the closing market report.